As Bio said, I'll be presenting some results on adolescent vaccine attitudes, both from the parent and the adolescent perspective. These are from surveys that were done last summer and fall. And first, for some background, it's no surprise to anyone here this week that there have been several newly recommended adolescent vaccines in the last couple of years. What makes these vaccines a little different than what we're used to with the childhood schedule is that most are not mandatory for school entry. Therefore, parent and adolescent vaccine knowledge and attitudes are very important in helping understand voluntary uptake with these new vaccines and adolescent vaccines in general. So with that in mind, we wanted to look at the knowledge and attitudes and some of the behaviors surrounding these newly recommended adolescent vaccines, both for parents as well as for the adolescents themselves. So we did this by adding some questions to an annual series of mail panel surveys called the Style Surveys. And so these are surveys that are done every year, and they cover a wide variety of topics. It starts with a general consumer mail panel survey sent to adults. The respondents to that survey are then given a follow-up called Health Styles. It's for U.S. adults 18 and older. And this asks a wide variety of health questions, so including immunization, but with all other areas like, you know, physical activity and, you know, anything you can think of related to health. At the same time, those households that receive a health style survey and have children aged 9 to 18 also receive the youth style survey. And this is a survey directly for children 9 to 18 years old and asks a wide variety of questions, again, about health, but also about some other behaviors, peer influences, relationships with family, and that sort of thing. So we added some questions to these surveys, specifically looking at adolescent vaccine knowledge and attitudes. The data that we got back were weighted to represent the U.S. population and the certain, you know, age groups that we talked to. And so I'm going to present just some descriptive analyses that we calculated using SPSS. So first I'll talk about the response rate and demographics. And then keep in mind throughout, these were two separate surveys, although they were sent out concurrently. I'll be discussing them as two separate surveys, and I'll explain a little bit about why towards the end. So the first survey, Health Styles for Adults, was sent to 6,600 households and got a 67% response rate. And today I'll just be talking about the subset of respondents with a child in the home aged 11 to 18. So those were 1,208 respondents. Youth Styles was sent to 2,566 households and got a 53% response rate. And again, I'll be discussing results from the subset of 11 to 18-year-olds in this survey. So that was just over 1,000 respondents. This table just shows a very few selected demographics. As I said, they were weighted to represent the U.S. population. So I just pulled out some of the majorities here. The majority of the respondents were female. Greatest proportion in the 35 to 44-year-old age group. The majority were non-Hispanic white with a household income over $60,000 annually, and most had attended some college or college graduate. I have the full list of these if you'd like to talk about them later. The adolescents, just over half in the sample were male, and I'd like to spend a second on the age breakdowns here. About a third were 11 to 13, just over a quarter, 14 to 15, and just over a third, 16 to 18 years old. We did a separate analysis that I'm not going to present today except for one question toward the end that broke down the adolescents by these age categories, figuring that, you know, an 11-year-old's health attitudes and decision-making were very different from an 18-year-old's. I'm not going to get into those in detail today except for one pretty interesting point towards the end, so hang on for that. But we did look at them broken down, just so you're aware. So first, the parents, the parent knowledge and attitudes about adolescent vaccines. We asked some specific knowledge questions, first just about HPV vaccine. And all the knowledge questions here were multiple choice, so they were a little tougher than, you know, a true-false or that sort of question. Just over half knew that HPV caused cervical cancer, and 61% knew that HPV was sexually transmitted. When we talked a little more generally about adolescent vaccines, 20% of parents were able to correctly name all three of what we called the new adolescent vaccines. So that's Tdap, MCV4, and HPV vaccine. If you see my little footnote, if you can read that at the bottom, this again was a toughly worded question. We were sort of erring on the the side of being conservative here. They were given a list of vaccines and had to check off the ones that were the newly recently recommended adolescent vaccines. So you couldn't just check off a whole list and be counted as correct. So they also had to know that some other vaccines were not specifically for adolescents. We also tried to get at parents' awareness of this 11 to 12-year-old preventive visit, this platform visit that we've been talking about so much. And knowledge of this was pretty low. Only 11% of the parents knew that this was the age at which children should receive a preventive healthcare visit. And it's interesting for this one, too, if you look at some of the, sub-bullets. A lot of times when we ask these questions, if people didn't know, they said they didn't know, and that's informative to us as well versus people that guessed incorrectly. But for that one, a lot of parents guessed wrong. They chose older age groups or they chose, a bunch of different ones, not this platform visit. We also asked them, in the past year, had their youngest adolescent's healthcare provider shared information on these three vaccines? And we didn't restrict this to kids who had had an office visit figuring, the doctor still could have sent something home, called, emailed, they could have found out in another way. But either they weren't being given this information or they weren't recalling that their child's healthcare provider had shared it. Because the proportions there ranged from 18%, you see, for MCV4 to 23% for Tdap. And this survey was fielded in the summer of 2007. So think between 2006 and 2007. That's the time period they're being asked about here. Switching over to attitudes, to me the most interesting part, 84% of the parents agreed or strongly agreed that vaccines are a way they can protect their adolescents' health. This is very good. A lot of times we parents are used to thinking of vaccines for the small children, for the babies, for school entry, and we wonder a bit about whether that's still on their radar when they have adolescents. But a little bit more concerning was that a third also said that they had concerns about the safety of adolescent vaccines. For this particular survey, we didn't get into detail what your concerns were. We had space for one question. But to me, that bears some more in-depth follow-up, what these specific concerns are, if they are different or similar to those of parents of small children. 70% also thought that their recommendations about healthcare and vaccines were important to their adolescent child. But 70% disagreed or strongly disagreed their child should be able to consent to vaccination without their knowledge, even if recommended by a healthcare provider. So this has some implications for maybe alternative settings where adolescents may receive care that their parents are unaware of. And I want you to remember that 70%, because we asked the same question of the children, the adolescents, and the answer might surprise you. So, or not, it surprised me. So speaking of the adolescents, what did they tell us about some similar questions? For the adolescents, 38% knew that HPV caused cervical cancer, and just under half knew it was sexually transmitted. And again, we didn't look, this is all the adolescents overall, so it wasn't split between males and females or age groups for what I'm presenting here. And again, when asked to name what these vaccines were, these three adolescent platform vaccines, only 5% could correctly name them all. Although if you notice, it turned out that question was a little more difficult. It included a response for MMR vaccine for the adolescents, which, technically MMR, if they haven't received it sooner, is an adolescent vaccine. But when you add that in there, it was still only about 10% that could name those four. Now, switching to the attitudes, I have to first point out the scale. That's different for the adolescents than the parents. The parents had what we think of as the traditional 5-point, strongly agree to strongly disagree. The adolescents get really sort of agree, really sort of disagree. So this is this has been used for years in this survey, so they assured us that this was the right way to ask these questions. So I didn't make this up. 91% really or sort of agreed that vaccines are a way they could protect their health, which to me, I like the wording of this question, what it implies as adolescents being empowered to protect their own health, the way it was asked, so I like that a lot. But again, 43% said they had concerns about safety. Now, it could have been, I'm concerned that shots will hurt, I don't like shots. We didn't get into any of the specifics about that, but that's another number that bears some looking into. We asked about some of the influences, too, for the adolescents and went into a little more depth with them. And hopefully this will make the healthcare providers in the audience very happy. 84% really or sort of agreed they'd get a vaccine if their healthcare provider said they should. Only 17% said they'd be influenced by their friends. So for vaccination, at least, healthcare providers were really an important source of recommendation, a lot more so than friends. And this should also make the parents in the audience happy. 87% also agreed that they would get a vaccine if their parents said they should. So even more than the healthcare provider recommendation, the parents' recommendation was important in their intent, at least their intent to say they would want to be vaccinated or agree to be vaccinated. Now, remember when we asked about consent for parents, 70% said, you know, I disagree that my adolescent child should be vaccinated without my consent. Well, it turns out the adolescents thought the same thing. Just over 70% disagreed that they should be able to consent to vaccination without their parent or guardian knowing about it. And remember way back at the beginning when I talked about breaking this down by age, this is the one question I wanted to share, sort of the broken down by age slide, because it's pretty interesting, and it falls out exactly as you might expect. So the yellow bars are the proportion that disagree with that statement, I should be able to consent for my own vaccinations, essentially. And as the adolescents get older, you know, fewer and fewer disagree and more agree, you know, that they should be able to consent on their own. But even if you look at the 16 to 18-year-olds on the far right, over half still think that their parents should be notified of their vaccination decision. So just to summarize, knowledge of adolescent vaccine-preventable diseases and vaccine recommendations varied in this group of parents and adolescents. Both groups thought vaccines protected adolescent health, but some safety concerns remain, and I think definitely bear some further research. Parent and healthcare provider recommendations were more important, or a greater proportion of the adolescents thought they were important, than peer behavior or peer intent to vaccinate in motivating their decision. And both parents and adolescents generally disagree that adolescent vaccines should be given without a parent's knowledge. We always have to talk a bit about limitations to any survey. A couple I'd just like to point out. Remember those two different scales, the 5 points for the parents and the, you know, really kind of sort of for the adolescents. Some of these surveys were sent to the same household, so a parent and an adolescent in the same household could have filled out the same survey. But we couldn't match them as pairs because of this difference in the scale. I talked to, you know, the people that run the survey about, you know, whether it could be changed or how we could do that, but because this is a bigger survey that didn't just have our questions on it, this is the scale they went with. And so we couldn't look at maybe how well they matched up within households or whether a parent's attitudes were the same as their child. And also remember that the USTEL survey did have a low response rate. It was 53%, so keep that in mind when drawing any conclusions. Although, as I said, the data were weighted after they got back to try to account for some of that. So just to conclude, vaccines were generally acceptable to parents and adolescents, although knowledge of vaccine-preventable diseases and recommendations varied. Parent recommendation and consent for vaccination were important to both groups. And appropriate methods for better informing parents about adolescent vaccines, including improved communication from healthcare providers, should be explored. Thanks a lot for your attention.